Take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah 24. And we're not going to get so detailed from here on out. We're just going to look at some general things I'd like you to see. Actually, let's not go to Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah 24, but turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to Romans 15:4. There we go. Turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans 15:4 says this here. I'll just make this quicker for those that don't have Bibles out there. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the Scriptures might have hope. Does it sound better now? Yep, okay. And this is the verse that we go to when we talk about people that accuse us of not going to the Old Testament and Hebrew, all that kind of stuff. So this is the verse that tells us, no, we go to those things totally all the time because it's there for, those things are there, like it says there, for our learning. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So this is about hope. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. We're going to go back and look at Jeremiah tonight. We're going to look at some things that will give us some admonishment, some teaching, some learning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. There it is again. We know who we're talking about specifically, but still. He says, they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we go back to the Old Testament to learn things. So we're going to go to Jeremiah, and we're going to learn something from Jeremiah. Now, we know that God operated physically in those days. They're not going to operate physically with us, but we're still going to be able to see some pretty interesting things on how God operated. Then he still operates that way today. I'll show you what I mean. Jeremiah chapter 24, and when I'm going to look at the chapter itself, I just want you to look at verse 4. And we see there where it said, well, look at verse 3. It says, then the Lord said, then send the Lord unto me. Now, we remember, in Jeremiah's time, God's telling this guy stuff. So, we have to remember that we believe without a shadow of a doubt that God speaks to us through this Bible. Not through our little minds, our little dreams, and, you know, stuff like that. We know that. We talk about that all the time. But he talks to us as we read our Bible. And when you read this thing with Jeremiah, see, look at verse 1 up there. It says, the Lord showed me. Well, Jeremiah was physical. He had signs for the Jews and all that stuff. Verse 3, then said the Lord unto me. So, you know, Jeremiah didn't have a Bible. He had God talking to him. That's the stuff that Paul says goes away when the Bible shows up, 1 Corinthians 13:10. That's how God operated in those days. Now, don't be afraid to say yes or amen or nod your head or anything out there, anybody. It's always encouraging. So, I wish people would get that. I'm so tangled up in these cords. Probably look good on the video, I'll bet. that is how God operated. And he even had to operate that way through Paul, through Paul's time. You know? So, but when this Bible came about, 1 Corinthians 13:10 tells us that it doesn't do that anymore, because those things were done in part. I wish people would get a hold of that thing. So we see in verse 4 where it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. That means for us, in order for us to say that, we have to read it again. You've got to open up your Bible again. You've got to find something again. And then he says, thus saith the Lord. So you grab your Bible, and you're going to read something. Do you realize, and do we think out there, that when we open up that Bible and we look at that stuff, that we are seeing, thus saith the Lord. The Lord's saying something to us. So this, it's just like Jeremiah. Matter of fact, in Jeremiah 1, if I remember that, in Jeremiah 1, Lord says, say not I am a child, Jeremiah, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So we know what to tell people based on this Bible. So there's an illustration from Jeremiah. Now what Jeremiah has to tell his people, we don't tell the people today as far as the wrath of God, other than tribulation. But still. Now let's look at verse 7 here. Look at verse 7. Chapter 24, verse 7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. So, here's Jeremiah telling these people the judgment of God. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, and the whole thing. And if they would just listen to him, They would return his words. They would listen to his words. They'd return to God. And God says, listen, I'll be there again for you. I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. See, when we read our Bible and we see some things in our Bible and we know that we're doing wrong or it's not a good situation or it's one of those avoiding things or whatever, then we ought to respond to that just like God says, listen, if they will do that with their heart, I'll be there. Now, we know we're not going to lose God, fellowship, we know that kind of stuff. But still, do we see the response there? When we read our Bible, thus saith the Lord. When we read our Bible again, just like Jeremiah says, and God, when we read our stuff from Paul, if our heart's behind what we're reading and we want to not do the church thing by the heart, or if we want to not do our music thing and it's by the heart, and if we want to not do this, I heard the phrase today, swimsuit season. Now, is that an amazing thing for a Christian to call it swimsuit season? And see, when you're reading your Bible about modesty and these things from Paul, in your heart, you would recognize, you know, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. But like Paul fought the mind. His mind fought the flesh. And who tried to call here? Oh, Marilyn. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? And here we are, Christians, and they call it swimsuit season. How can there be a season for swimsuits? Oh, you mean immodesty season. Oh, you mean show off your body parts season. Is there a season for that? Yes, there is a season for that. Sin for a season. I mean, that's just an amazing thing. Swimsuit season. But anyway, so when you're reading your Bible and you realize some of these things, and are you doing these things in your heart? Just like God said, I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Crack open that Bible. Take it with you when you go places. And when you read something, is your heart into this thing? Because you'll respond in Paul's manner what it is that we should do or should not do because of our heart. And that it's just kind of irritating when people challenge us because they don't believe it's in our heart. Well, maybe some people are playing the game. Okay, how long have you been dressing right? How long have you been trying to talk right? How long have you stayed away from the tube and some of the wasting time stuff? How long have you cut out the commercial? I mean, how long have you stopped smoking? Whatever it is that you're dealing with, how long have you been doing that? How long has your battle been going on? Long time? And you don't think it's in your heart yet? Or they don't think it's in your heart yet? You can only fight so long, and it becomes a very heart battle. You stay into that thing when it gets tough. It's because your heart's in it. It's not just an obedient thing, your heart's in it. If your heart's not in it, you're going to party out there with a swimsuit season. Or whatever it is that you're going to eventually finally do. So that's a good illustration there from Jeremiah chapter 24. Look at verse 10. Aren't we glad, like 9 and 10, are we glad that we don't have to worry about this stuff? And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. So we don't have to worry about that message from Jeremiah. So that part of it's fine. But that is a tribulation that's coming up. But not for us. We would go to Romans chapter 5, verse 9. We would go to Romans chapter 4, verse 15. We would go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. We'd go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. We'd go to Romans 2, 44 and 5. We'd go to Romans 9, 22. That tells us that we don't have to worry about this wrath that God's going to put down on this earth again. Reminding us that what Jeremiah is talking about did take place with Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, the mothers ate their children. It was just a terrible time. And yet Jesus says in Matthew 24 that this tribulation is going to be worse than it's ever been. I can't imagine things being worse than Jeremiah and Lamentations, but it's going to be. So we don't have to worry about that stuff. And there's notes on the website there pretty soon by tonight that those are your verses to help people realize that not only do you get saved from hell, but God's wrath, which is a tribulation. Like, is that not what it is? That's what it says. So anyway, there's chapter 24. Just a quick thing out of Romans chapter 20 or Jeremiah chapter 24. Let's look at 25. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 25. And again, we're going to be looking at this whole thing that when Jeremiah talks about God speaking to him, we're looking at the King James Bible. Same thing today, same application today. For example, look at verse 3. He says, in the middle of that whole thing, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. Well, we don't get up in the morning and have that Bible just open up and start talking to it. We got to reach over and grab that thing and read it. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. So, Look at 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. So, whether it be the preachers, or in those days the prophets were prophesying, they were saying what they had to say. And they said they came to him in the morning, early and speaking. So, grab your Bible in the morning. Take a couple minutes. It's hard. We all get really hurried in the morning. And have God speak to you through your Bible. Not rushing and shaving and getting in the car and God talking to you while you're doing all this stuff. No, you got to read your Bible. Okay, so let's look at verse 5 here. And they said, turn. That's what these prophets were saying. Turn, just like Paul says, turn from the power of Satan to the, you know, to the living God in Acts 26:18. Turn ye again now, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you unto you and to your fathers forever and ever. Now, turn from his evil way. Here we go back to these conceited Christians who think that they're living a good enough life to be blessed by God. Isn't that amazing? But we still can't turn from our evil way. We can't turn from our evil way to get saved. We can't turn from our evil way even as we're saved. Paul couldn't. So Christ actually took away the evil way. And he gives us the Bible to tell us how it is we should be trying to walk to please him. So there's that little comment in there. Again, he says it again. Look in verse 7. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me. Then he says that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. See, we stay away from Paul's teachings, we're going to hurt ourselves. You get into the love of money. And we talked about piercing ourselves with sorrows. Paul talks about all these sorts of things. It isn't God punishing us. It isn't God's chastisement. It's just we're going to do these things to ourselves. It says right here, the works of your hands to your own hurt is what he's saying. So there's 5, look at 7, 8. Yeah, look at 8. We did 8. There it is again. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my what? Words. It isn't just the word of the Lord, it's the words of the Lord. So now go back down to verse 10 again, 10, 11, and we see again more of the tribulational details because the things are going to be worse than that. Go down to verse 30. Look at verse 30. Therefore prophesy against thou against them all these words. The Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Are we in the right chapter here? 24, 25? I've got verse 30. Oh, verse 30. Where's that there? Verse 30. 31. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. And he says that he will plead with all flesh. Look at verse 33. And the slain of the Lord, down at the bottom there, shall be dung upon the ground. Well, that's... See, the tribulation is going to be a terrible thing. I think people picture tribulation as some kind of a Hollywood movie where things will be rough. There'll be a volcano or two, you know, a couple of earthquakes and stuff like that. No, it's going to be so much more worse than... People don't realize how bad it was in Jeremiah's time. For them to realize just how bad the tribulation is going to be. Oh, I can make it through the tribulation. I'll just start doing everything right. Right. That's just crazy thinking, isn't it? It's going to take the Spirit of God upon their flesh to get them to make it through that tribulation. And God's going to chastise them all the time and rebuke them all the time, says that Revelation 3, because he loves them. He's going to have to whip them to get them to stay in the shape. Stay on the road. And people want to do that? Not me. Okay, chapter 26. Let's go to chapter 26 here. And we see in verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah. Isn't that something that he was told to go to like their temples and preach right there? Should we be going to our churches today and preaching in the front steps like Jeremiah did? Making the big scene on the street corners and things? That isn't what Paul tells us to do. We're not supposed to strive. anyway, but he does tell Jeremiah to do so. And look what he says, which come to worship in the Lord's house. Isn't that interesting? See, there's your Old Testament. Worship in the Lord's house. So when people are talking today about worshiping in our church, and they think this is the Lord's house, come worship with us, that's Old Testament. The church is the body of Christ. The local assembly is an organization. It's not an organism. It's an organization full of the organism, if they're saved. So, and people are doing that. There's an Old Testament worship thing that's floating around. Well, of course it is. That's Gospels. That's Antichrist. Then he says, all the words I command thee to speak unto them. Well, okay, if a pastor gets out his King James Bible, he would be preaching what God would have him preach. And then it says, diminish not a word. In other words, Jeremiah, go to those people in their little temples and you tell them everything I told you to tell them. Diminish not one word. How many of us pastors and preachers and teachers do we diminish a bunch of our words? How many of you out there witnessing to people are just trying to stand up for yourself and you diminish your words? I like that. Right along with, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? When do we ever not make our stand because we want to seek love? When do we ever diminish our word so we can have some more friends or not cause a problem? In lots of cases, that's probably wise. But is that the way it should be in all cases? You get a chance to say something, you should say something. I had a situation today at the school where this kid, his father had died a year ago or so, and he still has a hard time with it. And he's going to play for this contest, and he was. I should number this thing. I'll probably take this out when I put it online. And he's just having a hard time playing in front of people. I said, listen, this kid, what his name was, I said, a long time ago, when I had to play piano in front of 1,000 people for an offertory every couple of weeks, I got nervous. I finally had to realize I've got God sitting next to me on my piano bench, and if I can play for God, I can play for anybody. So there's my first little bitty seed put into this thing that I diminished. I don't think I diminished any words because I didn't dare say any more than that. But did I trim my weight? Did I not say anything at all? No, was it time to say something for this poor kid who just feels really bad missing his dad? Pretty sad thing. Nice kid, too. So, diminish not a word. And what is it that Paul tells us to do? Preach the word in season, out of season. And I'm sure God will not have us diminish anything either. When you want to tell somebody why you're dressing modest, when they ask you, when they want to ask you why you're not doing this, they want to ask you why don't you want to watch this or go here, you know, if the situation's right, and that's a big justification right there not to do it, but if it works out right, diminish not a word. Don't be afraid to tell them. Don't be afraid. You're not afraid of the testimony. You're not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. You're not afraid of the testimony of Paul either. So diminish not a word about those things here. Let's go down here to verse 7. Let me show you something in 7. So the priest and the prophet, and you can read the whole story if you'd like there, you know. Again, in verse 5, they're not hearkening to what Jeremiah has to say. 7. So the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of Jeremiah. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people. See, he said everything God wanted him to say. That the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. See, he said what he needed to say. This is why, like Jeremiah, he said what he needed to say. Remember, don't forget, an M or an AM, what is that? Or an amen. What is an AM? You know, an AM. An amen or a head nod or you know, whatever. And he says, thou shalt surely die, they say to him. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without inhabitation? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. So they didn't like what he had to say, obviously. Look at verse 11, right in the middle. This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. In other words, he didn't diminish a word. He didn't hold back anything. He had to say what he had to say. Now, we have a King James Bible. We need to say what we need to say. Using the King James Bible. Not too much, not too little. I can be guilty of too much. Now, this is interesting. Now, Jeremiah has a chance to speak to these people who want to kill him. Then spake Jeremiah to all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophecy, and there's his testimony. Now, go down to verse 16. So he's done with his sermon. Then said the princes and all the people upon the priests and to the prophets, which is the same people that were there to listen, this man is not worthy to die. for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, ta-da, there it is. So the guys wanted to kill him for what he had to say. And you know, you got people who want to shut you down for what you have to say, for how you dress, for how you talk, the music you play, the music you listen to, the music you don't listen to, the music you don't play, the clothes you won't wear, the places you won't go, you know, all that kind of stuff. They want to kill you. Maybe not physically, although I think there's a lot of that there. But they at least want to shut down your spiritual growth. They don't want to hear it. They want to kill you to them anyway. And when Jeremiah was done with his sermon, they didn't believe that at all. Now, that would be exciting, except we see that they go right back to the world very soon here anyway. There's a good one in chapter 42 coming up we'll talk about. So these people always said, yes, we'll be there. And then they weren't. Yes, we'll hearken. No, they didn't. Ring a bell? Familiar to any of us? We do the same thing. We got certain issues that we're going to stand hard on because they're not even hard to stand on today. But the ones that are tough in our lives, we diminish a lot, we trim a lot. We've all got something we can fight for easily. It's not hard. It's not hard for me to be against alcohol. I never liked this stuff. It's not hard for me to be against smoking because, I can't even touch this stuff. It makes me feel cringy when I touch those things. Modesty, that's hard for some people. It's not hard for others. Being quiet. Some ladies are always quiet anyway. I always pick those up, don't I? Those are the ones I use for examples. But, you know, if you got something you're trying to fight and stand true on when it isn't your normal thing, that's a battle. That's the battle. We all got different ones. So, we need to say what needs to be said when the time comes to say what needs to be said. Did you get that? The time comes when we need to say what we need to be said. When the time comes, we need to say what we need to say, which what needs to be said, if the time comes. Yeah, you know what I mean. Something like that. Okay, let's keep going here. I got 7, 9, and 11. We got 9, 10, 11. Yeah, we've done all those things here. Okay, we're done with that thing. Sermon 16, change his mind. That's what a sermon ought to be. Results are like that. Is our heart is involved. I wonder how many people listen to a sermon with their heart. Well, let's go to chapter 27. Yeah, I'm still yawning. It's still Wednesday night. Yep. But at least I have not fallen asleep while I'm talking. That was what was happening the last couple of weeks. Let's look at verse 5. Now, this is kind of an odd one here. I think there's more to this than I'm going to bring up tonight. And it has a lot to do with today. Because here we are, we're concerned. We have to be out in the world. Men have to be out in the world. Ladies, you shouldn't have to be. You should be able to stay home. Daughters, young ladies, the whole spiel. But people just aren't buying into that stuff. And that just really infuriates me. But anyway, why should we have to go out into this world that hates God, hates freedom, hates liberty, hates Christ, hates the Bible kind of stuff? Well, Paul tells us we have to. But he also tells us who not to hang around. He also tells us how to live out in that world. He also has a manner of life we're supposed to follow. He also says that if we're going to follow that manner of life, we are going to suffer persecution. He says that. And yet, we have the liberty to do those things today. Now, let me show you something in this Jeremiah chapter 26 here. Let's go down to verse 5. To hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. Then will I make this house like Shiloh. 26. So you guys can't tell me that, can you? Nobody's out in church going, hey, that's the wrong one. Hello? 27. Here we go. Verse 5. I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now I've given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Why? Well, because he says up there, he gives it to who seemed meet. So it looks to me, it looks to God like Nebuchadnezzar might as well have this place. You're all so wicked down there. So I gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. He says in verse 7, all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon. Oh, doesn't that sound good? These guys are going to stand against the world here. And then it says, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord. Now, why would God punish people that are standing against the king of Babylon? Isn't that weird? Verse 9, therefore hearken not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers. Boy, talk about spiritualistic people here. Nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you. Seriously. You expect us to live under the leadership of Babylon, Jeremiah? Verse 11, but the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. What a choice these people have. They can live under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, or they can live out in the countryside it was talking about as you get rid of that chapter, stay away from things, and still be under their rule. So we're looking at, what do we do today with that thing? Well, are we under bondage of this world? Or have we learned from Paul how to be in this world, but still be out there? See what I'm saying? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse, for some reason, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I think it's 4 is what I want. 4 verse 2 here. Oh, there it is, verse 4. Yep, 2 Timothy 2, 4. I was wrong here. I was at 5. No man that works entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So it's like God's telling these guys, listen, if you're going to go into this city and you want to be under this Nebuchadnezzar guy, he's going to hurt you. You can't do anything under the bondage of it. But if you're going to stay with outside the city and still be under that rule, because, see, none of them are getting off the hook. God will still be there for them while they live under this rule. Is that making sense? So we have this dilemma today. That if somebody wants to be a real solid, good Christian, then they shouldn't have to work out in this world. You want a Christian job. If they can't get a Christian job, they want to stay home. It's not the man's place to be at home. It's just not our place. When you stay home, you get in trouble after a while because that isn't where you're supposed to be. And I know the job thing, the millstone is being silenced, and no jobs are getting hard to find everywhere. Just terrible. But that's the man's place. If the lady's working, you got God's grace. Here we go with that kind of thing. You know all better than that. But here's God telling Jeremiah's people, listen, if you go under this Nebuchadnezzar guy, you're going to get hammered. And I'll punish you even. But if you stand to the bondage outside here, I'll take care of you. But yet you still got to give in to the government. Isn't that weird? Well, what are we supposed to do? Paul tells us to pray for our government. And it does come to a point where if it's something against God or against the Bible, then we should stand for that thing. And we know that the moral standards of America are being dropped out. We know that the visual standards, the modesty standards, the music standards. Are we supposed to go along with that stuff? No, of course not. That's not Paul's manner of life. Paul's manner of life is to be out in this world where the men have to be and still be the Christian you're supposed to be. Oh, but that's so hard. Right. That's what makes it so hard. Same thing with the ladies in the house. Young daughters in the house. This is your place. Learn your stuff that pleases God. But you're still not free from this world. Have we been set free? No, we haven't been set free. If we were set free, we wouldn't have to do these things. We're made free. So, as we're amongst all this world out here, men should be. We've been made free so we can be out there and not worry about God's chastisement or lack of fellowship or losing fellowship or whatever. But if we decide to get caught up in that thing where it says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You want to get caught up in that world out there, it'll choke you. That's what Jeremiah is saying here. You say in this one section, it'll kill you. Say in this section over here, God will be there for you, but it'll still be tough until such and such comes along. So, quite a choice, isn't it? Well, what do we have for a choice? What am I doing in a public school? I have no choice. I don't think I had any choice. And I'm hoping that it works out really well. What are you doing wherever you're at? Do you have a choice? Well, I could stand up and say, I can't teach this, right? Or else I could teach it and get kicked out of the school and then tell people, he went out of the school to martyr. I don't see that yet. Now, if they were to ask me to do a high school band, I see how I could fudge it, but I would tell them, by the way, your kids will not like me as their band director. So we make those kind of adjustments or what? Just so you know. What about you? Wherever you're at out there. So, what a choice, huh? It seems like any choice we make that's serious choice is going to put persecution on you. Doesn't it? I mean, it really does. It's going to be hard. You're going to have a battle coming up. I, for one, am running out of ammo and running out of gas, but every time I sit down and write up a sermon, I get encouraged again, knowing that you guys are going to be out there, and you folks, people on the website, there's still a joy in that. But we're still working. I know some of you ladies are working too. You can't help it. It's one of those things. You really had no choice. But your goal is to make it right because it's your judgment seat, not the person who says you can't do that. They've got their own problem with their judgment seat. They'll have to answer for why they won't let you stay home or take care of the children. They got their issues coming up too. So we get the choice. It's kind of like neither choice is all that good. Sure, the guys can stay home with the kids. We make lousy mothers. Most guys are lousy mothers. What kind of choice is that? Well, you might be having because of your health. Who knows? God's grace is sufficient. It's His grace is where we get our strength from. So, look at verse 9. We're back to Jeremiah. I'm almost done here. Look at Jeremiah 27 again. Is that making sense at all? I'm just kind of, maybe I'm starting to get sleepy again here. This lamp is getting to be pretty hot. I guess I've got to forge out a new lamp here one of these days. Anybody have a lamp out there they want to send me? We're looking at Jeremiah 27. This will be our last point here. Jeremiah 27, it says in verse 9 and 10, therefore hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. I like that. Remove you far from your land. Boy, the government's done a good job of that, haven't they? Taking away our land just on their own whim there. I think we'll stop there. It's an interesting chapter right there about serving Nebuchadnezzar or not. And God wants you to do one or the other. And none of these are right, according to Paul, that kind of a thing, according to God. They must have been doing some pretty bad things for God to punish them with their own junk, huh? That's how that works out. Well, there you go. A little short, but that's okay. That's just Jeremiah. Learn from that. Give us comfort and patience, or patience and comfort from the Scriptures, because the Old Testament is just as important. It's just marvelous stuff to learn and read. Learn some things from Jeremiah and see if you can apply them in your lives as you want to somehow try to turn a few things, you know. Remembering that Jeremiah was told by God, so are we, through a King James Bible.